Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. I'd like to welcome all of you back to Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder, and we do have a very interesting guest this evening, Jake Morfonius, and I think he just called in. So, hey, Jake, how are you?
I'm doing great. Mark, how are you tonight?
I am doing fantastic. Why don't we start out the show again with you telling the listeners, again, a little bit about yourself. I know you started out as a politician, correct?
Well, working with politicians.
Okay.
I came from a political background. My family, I was born down in Miami, Florida. My grandmother was an elected judge. She was a criminal court judge. She was pretty famous. They had her on Oprah and 60 Minutes, and she's in all the talk shows and magazines. She's kind of a Judge Judy type personality. She just had a very flamboyant personality. But she was known as being a really tough judge, that she dealt with the nastiest, worst criminal elements you can imagine. Lots of problems with rape and murder and child abuse and drug trafficking. It was Miami in the 80s. My grandfather was a Democrat. She was Republican. He was a Democrat. He had been the Florida State chairman for Lyndon B. Johnson's presidential campaign, and he was the top aide to a congressman. And my dad was in politics. He worked on a big committee down in Miami with Jeb Bush back before Jeb ran for governor. So I grew up in a household where politics was always being discussed. We were always involved in some campaign and going out to fundraisers and dinners. So it was kind of a hobby for me as I grew up. I moved to North Carolina when I was a teenager and eventually got into politics myself as a campaign manager. And I managed campaigns for state-level candidates, like North Carolina House of Representatives, but I also did work for presidential campaigns. In 2000, I was the state campaign manager for Steve Forbes. I don't know if you remember him, the billionaire. He was running against George W. Bush. Back then, I was just, I was very libertarian at the time. My whole goal was don't let a neocon administration come to power. That's all I cared about at the time. And George W. Bush was going to be the man to beat. I didn't want to back John McCain because I thought he was a warmonger. So I put my efforts behind Steve Forbes. And it was pretty neat. I got to experience a lot of cool things and see things from the inside. I took Mr. Forbes to, for example, the South Carolina Republican debate, where they had all the candidates up there on stage, and so I was waiting just behind the curtain, right behind where he was, to whisk him off to another event right after the debate. But I got to meet everybody, George W. Bush and everyone that was running, and so that was these campaigns I worked on. I also later on was a writer for Ron Paul's campaigns in 08 and 2012. And he's still my all-time favorite that I've gotten to work with. So that was what I did, but that kind of work, unless you live in D.C., it's just part-time work. It's not gonna support a family on that because the money's inconsistent. So what I did for a regular income was I was an investigator, and I worked in a number of different fields over the years. I worked as a regional investigator for a whole network of group homes where they have homes for adults with mental retardation and autism, and there were always cases of abuse of the elderly, and so I would be sent in to do the investigation and find out if there was wrongdoing and what parties were to blame or how things happened. And later on, over the years, I eventually got into working as an investigator for a Fortune 100 bank as a financial crimes investigator, and would actually speak with the criminals involved or the people accused and try and get the truth out of them, play good cop, bad cop to try and get them to tell the truth of what really happened, try and reduce fraud for the company. Money laundering, terrorism was a big problem with money laundering, so we'd try and track that down. So my background as work has been in investigation. Also, on the side over the years, for about 20 years now, I've been writing freelance for different groups, different organizations, and I approach writing the same way I do investigations. I just take the facts, go where the facts lead me, and try and stick to the facts. And so all of those things combined, a lot of the investigation that I do today, I do it either for the fun of it, because really I'm passionate about it. It's so much fun to study this stuff. But I also get paid for it, a decent amount of money for these investigative reports that I do. And I'm able to support my family on it. I've got a wife and 8 kids, so we're a big family.
That's a big family.
Yeah.
That's a real big family.
lots of fun.
I'm sure. You got more courage than I do, I'll say that. You said your grandmother was a judge on Oprah. She was on Oprah's show. She was on 60 Minutes.
Yeah.
What would your grandmother say about some of our politicians nowadays?
Well, she was quite a character. She carried 2 guns on her at all times. She always kept 1 gun in her purse, and she always had 1 either strapped to her ankle or her hip, depending on what she was wearing. And she used to always like to, in these interviews, they'd ask her about it. And the fact was she had death threats all the time. She worked with very bad people. Mafia members threatened her. As a kid, I remember getting pulled out of school. At the time, I didn't know why, but from time to time, my mom would pull me out of school and whisk me off from Miami, and we'd go to South Carolina, where my other grandparents lived, and I'd end up staying there for a week just out of the blue and eventually make it back down. And come to find out as an adult, what the problem was the some of these criminals, the mafia and others, were doing their homework and found out that my grandmother had a little grandson in school, and so they'd let her know where I was and what my school schedule was, and their intent to pick me up and hold me as ransom to guarantee a certain outcome of a case. As far as politicians, she was very outspoken. She actually she used to host the radio show for Rush Limbaugh from time to time when he would be on vacation. I once went up to New York City with her back when he was based in New York, and he put us up in a nice hotel, and I got to sit there in the studio while she was doing the show. It was a neat experience. But she was always outspoken and colorful in her language, in that she she had trouble not cussing from time to time on these shows. She was at a sailor's mouth, and she just said it like it was. The corruption in government, even in her time, she just had no tolerance for it. Any attempt to infringe on the Bill of Rights, she spoke out strongly against that. And there's one transcript I was reading just recently, an old show she had done. She was also a weekly panelist on CNN, one of their experts, you know, when they do the split screen and have different guests on to debate issues. And so she would go on as a legal expert frequently. And she did one show where it was about the disappearance of a little girl from the foster care system down there in Florida. And it turns out that basically what had happened was this little girl, she just disappeared. And the social services department down there didn't even realize that the child was no longer there for about 2 years. She had been missing for 2 years before they even realized it. So my grandmother was on CNN, and they were debating that. And I had gone back and was looking at that article because I was thinking, I was wondering if that old case had anything, any clues that would indicate that the child had been taken as part of a sex trafficking operation. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't really tell from the transcript, but given the events that are going on today with the Pizzagate story and more and more information coming out about the trafficking efforts, lots of these kids just end up disappearing, and they're taken for, as a result of the negligence, sometimes innocent negligence, of some of these social services programs that are supposed to be helping kids. But it is a huge problem in America. Huge problem. The trafficking.
I have one of the emails of Podesta in front of me. Mm-hmm. So maybe let me read this, and you can continue your dialogue there. Maybe comment on this. It says here, this is, I think, Podesta. With enormous gratitude to advanced man extraordinaire Haber, whoever that is, I am popping up again to share our excitement about the reprise of our gang's visit to the farm in Lovettsville, and I thought I'd share a couple more notes. We plan to heat the pool, so a swim is a possibility. Bonnie will be Uber service to transport Ruby, Emerson, and Maeve, I guess, Luzzato, 11, 9, and almost 7, so you'll have some further entertainment, and they will be in the pool for sure. And it kind of continues. So I think that there's a little code in some of these emails, isn't there?
There is. And I've spent time, a lot of the stuff that has come out, I was just talking with a friend of mine earlier this evening about it. A lot of the information from Pizzagate, there's something legitimate about it. What became the problem with Pizzagate is that a lot of people not really understanding, not having a commitment to following actual facts that can be verified. There's an element of speculation that we generally use when we investigate that kind of prompts us to look in a certain direction. But if you go there and you don't find anything to substantiate the idea of, you have to back up, and you can keep talking about it, but at that point it's just speculation, and you have to treat it as such. Even if your gut tells you there's something there, you have to eventually find some facts to back it up. Or you get off into wild territory, and realistically, there are some people that are not real stable that will respond to that kind of speculation and go off and do stupid things. You know, maybe go into a pizza joint with a gun, for example. And I know there's lots of speculation about the legitimacy of that incident up at Comet Ping Pong and whether or not that was some kind of false flag. But in general, we have to back up the research from time to time with facts. And a lot of people investigating Pizzagate, they have good intentions, but they get themselves tripped up by focusing too long on things that are not really there. So regarding the code in the Pizzagate, these Pizzagate emails that WikiLeaks dumps, primarily from John Podesta, there is no question that there is a code in there. You don't talk about pizza in the way that they do. That is so obvious. To deny it is just simply irresponsible. It's like an ostrich sticking its head in the sand, thinking that the problem will go away, and it doesn't. There is something legitimate about the code. And I know that there's a lot of ideas about what the words mean. The problem is that, well, to be honest, John Podesta does like pizza for real, and he does from time to time pick up a pizza on the way home from an event and share a pizza with his brother Tony. So there are some legitimate references to pizza in there, in these emails. But setting those aside, there are definitely serious problems. And when you look at that particular one that you mentioned there, Miss Lozado, she had been working as the chief of staff for Hillary Clinton when she was the Secretary of State. And she's a really weird kind of lady. I looked into her, and she's got lots of experience working in Washington, but she's also she's a very unusual woman. And if you just set aside any preconceived ideas and just find a stranger on the street and say, let me read this email to you and explain the circumstances, and that it is some kind of get-together, clearly, that it's very cold outside, and the people in the email are told to bring sweaters because it's going to be that cold, but they are going to try and heat the pool and bring foster children, or they weren't foster children, they were the children of her ex-husband, I think it was. Not her biological children is the point. But that one of them is going to bring children for the other adults to watch playing in the pool for their enjoyment. That, in a normal person would not talk like that. These are not people that really know the kids, that have relationship with the kids. If it was, say, a bunch of aunts and uncles and family members getting together and, oh, yeah, I'm going to bring the kids and they're going to play in the pool and that will be fun, maybe that would make sense. But for a group of strangers to say that I'm bringing these children to while you're there in your sweaters because it's so cold, we're going to put them in the pool and let you watch them for your entertainment, that indicates that's a red flag.
Yeah. What about the references in some of these emails where it says, for example, this one email says, I think Obama spent $65,000 of taxpayers' money flying in pizza dogs from Chicago for a private party at the White House not long ago. So
yeah,
isn't
pizza
dog a hot dog? What's the code there?
Well, there are those that say that that the hot dogs and the pizza, of course, are references to children and the genders of the children and the different things like cheese indicates gender. And maybe it's true, maybe it's not. I can't say. I've looked at it, and that's one of those where you know something is wrong, but we just have – I don't know of anyone that's uncovered anything beyond that to substantiate it further. So, if I was to take this just as a matter of speculation, here are the things that concern me about that particular email. First of all, the White House, with the president, they have very strict procedures regarding what kind of food is brought in. You don't just call up Domino's and have them deliver pizzas to the White House because of the potential to poison the president or the other high-ranking officials there. They have very strict procedures. So to fly in food all the way from Chicago, we could say, well, maybe Obama had some, he's from Chicago, maybe he had some favorite place that he ate at there, and they've got really great pizza. Chicago is known for its Chicago-style pizza. But the time that it would take to get pizzas and hot dogs all the way from Chicago, once cooked, to fly them in to Washington, D.C. Not only would they need to be reheated, but it just wouldn't be good. And $65,000 worth of it. So naturally, it's not that they flew in pizza and hot dogs. It makes no sense in any way whatsoever. Now, does it refer to were they bringing in $65,000 worth of children for, you know, to entertain pedophiles in the White House? I guess it's possible. Anything's possible. I would think that they would be a little more careful than that to do that. Although we do have the during the Reagan years, Reagan-Bush years, we did have the stories come out in the Washington Post about the male prostitutes that frequented the White House. You know, that was mainstream media coverage, and that was verified. So we do know that these kinds of things have happened, and so I don't exclude it. I don't know if it's true about the hot dogs and pizza referring to children, but I can say that my firm opinion is it is not referring to real pizza and hot dogs. There's something else there.
Right. Well, I'm sure you've heard of Jeffrey Epstein and his
right.
Orgy Island. He was, of course, a billionaire that he knew Bill Clinton very well, and I think Bill Clinton made about 18 or 20 trips down there to partake
right.
of the fun down on the Orgy Island. Why don't you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah. So in the U.S. Virgin Islands, billionaire Jeffrey Epstein, he owns a small island, and he's got a huge estate on it. It's a beautiful place. I mean, just idyllic. No, anybody would want to own something like that. But he was using his private jet, which was nicknamed the Lolita Express, and they kept logs of the people traveling on it, and that's how we know about how many times Bill Clinton flew on it, also Hillary Clinton. Hillary, we have documentation proving that she went there at least 6 times, and Clinton at least 20 times. And one of the teenage girls, underage teenage girls, not legal teen, but underage teen, I think she was 16, had come out and talked to the National Enquirer, which is often looked at as not a legitimate paper, and they do run plenty of silly things, but they're also the ones who have put forth some very damning information that other media wouldn't touch, like they're the ones that exposed the affair of John Edwards, North Carolina Senator John Edwards, when he was running as the vice presidential running mate. Exposed him, and everything came out to be true about him. So this young girl had gone, and she gave the Enquirer a lot of information about what goes on there at Pedophile Island. They call it Orgy Island or Pedophile Island. And the story is that the rich, the elite, the people that are well-connected, they fly in and they do engage in very salacious sexual trysts with it just depends on their preferences. They have young boys,
right.
They have young girls. No question that is absolutely true. And a lot of what's going on with the Pizzagate story, I think, my opinion, a lot of this is disinformation that has been put out to distract from the bigger verifiable issues that can get specific people in trouble. Jeffrey
okay.
Epstein... The story about him, that had been out for a little while, but it gained steam in around October when WikiLeaks put out some more of the Podesta emails. And then we were getting verification of some of that. We were getting verification of things like the connections to Marina Abramovich's spirit cooking weirdness.
Can you comment on that again a little bit, Jake? I find the topic very interesting, the spirit cooking.
So Marina Abramovich, she's a very, very eccentric lady. She calls herself a performance artist, and she has very, very close ties to people high up in primarily liberal elites as opposed to conservatives. And as I say these things, I want to say I don't take a side one way or another. I don't think that this is all a bunch of Democrats. There's no question that there are just as many on the Republican side that are involved in this garbage as there are Democrats. But having said that, Marina is connected to the Democrats primarily. She is she does these performance art pieces. I'll tell you about one, for example, where she stood in the art gallery completely naked, and on the table next to her were a number of sadomasochistic type implements, whips, and there was even a loaded gun. And there was a sign there that said that the audience was invited to do anything that they wanted to her with those items. And so people were lashing her with the whip. They were put the gun to her head and threatened to pull the trigger. Just weird, weird stuff. And while she was standing there, she also did some strange things to herself. She cut a pentagram into her own stomach with a razor blade. And so she's covered in blood, and this is performance art. So the lady's not right. You know, if this is art, it's just not my taste, I guess. But she's done this many, many times. She's an icon among the liberal establishment. This kind of performance art, you'll see these very bizarre things, is a thread that goes through everything. The type of artwork that James Alefantis once had in Comet Ping Pong some years ago, and the kinds of things that he promotes. He happens to be the chairman of a big arts council in Washington, D.C. So a lot of ties. A lot of this artwork touches on some common elements, and they're related to, well, I'll just say Satanism, although they're not necessarily looking at it in their own minds as Satan. They may see it as just spirituality or esotericism, or some will refer to Baphomet, just Molech, all kinds of different references, not necessarily just thinking of the guy with the pitchfork and the horns. But all of it is occultism, is what it is. And the use of Marina Abramović, what she does is something called spirit cooking. And she takes different kinds of bodily fluids. She takes buckets of pig's blood, and she mixes in human semen, feces. She uses urine. She mixes all these things in the same bucket, and then she'll paint messages on the walls. She'll make murals with the substance. And something that I don't think a lot of people have picked up on is that the places that she does the spirit cooking, when she's done it at different galleries, before you go into the exhibit, she has these stones that are mounted on the wall, and the people that are going to go look at the artwork are supposed to put their foreheads up against the stone. And there are little placards that explain why. It's because it absorbs the energies of the people through their third eye, like, you know, hypothetically. Whether it's true or not, who's to say, but that's the purpose of these stones. And I've got pictures of them from one of her exhibits where there's four or five of these stones. And what she has said in interviews is that afterwards, after it's all over, she takes the stones and she does some ritual that's supposed to suck out the energies of these people that she can then use for other kinds of magical purposes. She imbues the blood concoctions that she makes with energies. All of this goes back to, it's manifested in many different forms, but it all goes back to ancient times, ancient pagan rituals, the worship of Molech, fertility rites. It's all about gaining power through the energies that you can gain from another person, from people. And there is also a belief that there are entities, spirit entities, whether you want to call them demons or spirits or whatever. There are beings that cannot be seen with the natural eyes that are real and who can grant you favor, who can make things happen on your behalf, either by imbuing you with greater power or by interfering in some events to make certain things happen that would be favorable to you. And so the practitioners of these different occult philosophies, they believe that if they can satiate or appease these entities, then they can win their favor. And so spirit cooking is part of that. It's about the idea of getting the energies of the different participants and using these energies in a way that is appeasing to these spirits. From the aspect of demonology, if we were to say, which I believe personally, that spirits are real, that demons are real, because they don't have physical, tangible bodies, they have to experience the pleasures of mortal existence vicariously through human beings. And so when we talk about things like the devil tempting you or demons tempting you, the purpose of that is to try and get the human, the subject, to do something that will put themselves into an extreme state of emotion. And it's like these spirit entities can feed off of that through the person. The person is like a funnel that they can absorb these energies through. And so that is why the goal is, with all of this pedophilia going on and a lot of the strange, bizarre rituals you hear about, it's not just that the people are pedophiles in the sense that they just have some natural interest in children, that they're sexually turned on by children. What it is that the greater the innocence, the worse the crime. It's a terrible thing for a man to sexually assault a woman. But it is an entirely worse thing, I think most people would agree, if a grown man were to sexually assault, say, a five-year-old boy. Mm-hmm. There's just something about it that is so much worse and depraved. And it is that aspect of it that all of this is about. Because you appease the spirits by doing things that are just absolutely unspeakable. And so you have to work yourself into a state. These people, John Podesta, I've not seen confirmation of this anywhere, but it looks very likely that John Podesta is affiliated with the Ordo Templi Orientis, which is basically a secret society that was organized by Aleister Crowley, and it's all based on sex magic. And I've actually got a manual back when I was doing an investigation earlier this year into an international sex trafficking ring. Someone passed a copy that I'm not supposed to have of this internal manual of rituals of what they do. And it actually does, it's very, very similar to the style of Freemasonic rituals in that there's a structure to it. And it gets progressively more and more esoteric as you go along. But in these rituals, it does include graduatingly worse sexual activities that are done as part of the ritual, and up to the point that it includes not only sexual assault of children, but actual cannibalism. And I know that just sounds outrageous, like it's like a nutty tinfoil hat conspiracy theory. But not only did I read it in the manual, but we've got actual testimony from people who have done these things to verify that these things are real. And so this network, Ordo Templi Orientis, which is all around the world, they do have operations, very heavy operations in Washington, D.C. And it's my speculation at this point, but it's looking more and more to be correct that some of these figures in this Pizzagate stuff, that they're actually participating in some of these sexual rituals. The reason that they have things like, hey, come on over and let's look at the kids in the pool, that'll be a nice thing. It's not because they're just a bunch of old people who think, oh boy, let's go look at some children in a pool. It's because it goes along with that idea that the internal stimulation that a person experiences from, say, looking at children that are, you know, scantily clad in a pool playing, that provides them with a kind of stimulation that these entities feed off of in the Ordo Templi Orientis rituals. And so when you have something like Comet Ping Pong, a lot of people got it wrong. And whether or not it was coming from just people innocently making the mistake or because it was disinformation being fed in to try and justify the whole fake news, false flag effort. The fact is, Comet Ping Pong does engage in some very, very bad stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I have spent considerable time watching the videos of the bands that they have playing there. They've got a back room. I was okay. Just at Comet Ping Pong this weekend. I went up to Washington, D.C. as part of my investigation over the weekend.
Well, let me throw a couple questions in here because this Comet Ping Pong thing is really interesting. So you've been there. You've seen the rock bands. They seem bizarre and strange to you. There was a guy that recently came out. I think he was a lawyer, and he might have been on the Alex Jones show. And he was trying to debunk this. And he had said that he was at one of these pizza parlors. I don't know if it was Comet Ping Pong. Is there two or is there only one?
Well, there's Comet Ping Pong, and then two doors down, or actually three doors down, is a place called Vesta Pizza, which is not owned. It has been alleged that it was owned by Alifantis, but it's not. I actually went in there and bought a pizza from that place. I needed an excuse to get in, so I went in and bought a medium pepperoni pizza for it. Came out to about $9 with tax. It was pretty good, but and no fingers or noses on it or anything. It was a clean pizza, I have to say. The Best Pizza is the place that has the triangle-shaped pizza logo that matches up to the FBI's indication of what pedophiles use as markers to let people know. But that place, you can't even sit down in it. It's like a Chinese takeout. You just walk in, and immediately there's the counter and the little Italian man, and you place your order, and wait a minute, he gives you the pizza, and you leave. That has nothing to do with any of this bad stuff. But back on the corner, there is Comet Ping Pong, and it is intended to be a family-friendly place, or at least it's intended to attract families to bring their children. And for the most part, that by itself is not the problem. I think that it's very irresponsible of them. If you look on their flyers for the different bands that come, every single one of the flyers says that the concerts are for all ages. And when you look at these people, I mean, a lot of these people are drag queens and, you know, men with beards, fat men in beards with wigs and G-strings and singing about fellatio and all kinds. You know, you don't want children there. So the problem with Comet Ping Pong is not what many people have alleged. They don't actually have children there in some dungeon where they actually engage in sex or anything, but it is for the purpose of the stimulation that comes from having the children around. It's kind of like in a much more innocent way. I'm 43 and my body's starting to slow down, and I'm getting to the point where I'm starting to enjoy the idea of getting grandchildren. I've got 8 kids. Some are, you know, in their 20s now, and pretty soon I'm going to have grandkids, or start to. And I'm starting to understand from this perspective how it is that older people really like to have the tiny kids around. They're just so full of energy, and you sit there and you think, oh my gosh, I wish I was like this again. I remember those days. Just having the little kids around fills you with energy and a buoyancy to your heart that just feels good. And grandparents, you see the bumper stickers. Let me tell you about my grandchildren. Grandparents love the grandchildren. And partly it's because of that satisfying feeling, that uplifting feeling, the energy that you get from interacting with the children. Well, that is what Comet Ping Pong is guilty of. They purposely, consciously attract children in and try and get them in there, because it is the, just like the email that you read about the pool party, it's not that they were bringing the kids there to the pool because they want to jump on them and molest them. It's because having them there, you are able to actually feel or feed off the energy of the children. And so Comet Ping Pong, that is what they are guilty of, not of molesting kids in the restaurant, but of creating an environment for children to come into that is also brim with people that are of very, very perverted sexual deviancies. James Alephant himself is an absolute depraved individual. Anybody who has seen his Instagram photos and the joking that he does about the sexual activity with children, and it's repugnant. But beyond that, the Instagram photos of some of his staff members, like one guy named Joshua, are so sexually charged, including, they're not a matter of speculation, very, very clear links to pedophilia in his photos. So when you have that atmosphere where those kinds of people that are such heavy promoters of sexual deviancy, when you have them bringing children, trying to get people to bring children to these very lewd and filthy concerts, that's not an accident. That's not innocent. They are actually trying to do something there. They're trying to provide an environment that is enjoyable for those kinds of people that get off on having children around. So the mistake that has been made with people looking at the Comet Ping Pong, there's not actual physical molestation happening there. That's simply not happening. So the guy that went up there from North Carolina, from Salisbury, North Carolina, with an AR-15 or whatever it was that he was carrying, thinking he was going to free children from a trapped basement room or dungeon or something, he was completely mistaken. That's not the kind of thing that goes on there. It's kind of a benign thing that you can't really put your finger on unless you understand how it is that the occultism plays into all of this, and you understand that it's not so much about the sexual attraction, or sexual activity, but just the general sexual stimulation that comes from the proximity of children to those that are sexually deviant.
So James Alephantis, he kind of looks like a gay man. And if you look at some of the pictures on the web, it basically looks like this pizza place. What, does it cater to a gay clientele then, would you say?
Yeah, for sure. It's yeah. Okay. James Alephantis is gay. His boyfriend is what is his name now? I forget. David Brock. David Brock is one of the most influential operatives in the Democratic Party. He's the guy who founded Media Matters for America, which is supposed to be a nonprofit organization that does research, and they're supposed to be correcting conservative misinformation that gets into the media. But really what they are is kind of like the liberal version of Drudge Report. Drudge Report kind of drives people toward conservative stories and a conservative mindset by highlighting stories that favor that kind. Well, Media Matters does the same thing, but the other side. But they're far more active politically. They're very active. In fact, David Brock is the guy who created the group called Correct the Record. Correct the Record is they're the guys that controlled the army of internet trolls, where they paid the trolls to attack anybody that was talking in favor of Donald Trump or against Hillary Clinton, these trolls were hitting YouTube comment sections, Facebook, literally hundreds and hundreds of them. It was an army that was sent out into the social media world to try and change the narrative in favor of Hillary Clinton. They get a lot of funding from George Soros. So this guy, David Brock, who's connected to all of that, who created that stuff, he is the boyfriend of the man who runs Comet Ping Pong, James Alifantis. So Alifantis is not, he's very well connected.
How did, this is kind of almost a rhetorical question, I guess, how did our government and our country become so corrupted?
Well, I guess there's no good single answer, but it's been happening for so long, it's just gotten progressively worse and worse and worse. It's hard to even pick a specific time. I think that if I had to pick a year that everything just fell apart, I would have to say it was 1913, when essentially these globalists, like the Rockefellers and the Rothschild family over in Europe, working with J.P. Morgan and the Rockefellers and others here in the United States, they created the Federal Reserve, and they basically took over the monetary system of the United States. And from that point on, we essentially have not had a true republic anymore. We have this shadow government operating where the bureaucracy of the government is so huge, it doesn't matter who the president is. Once Donald Trump is no longer president, say he loses 4 years from now and we get a new president, his administration will go away, the people that he put in there, but about 80% of the government remains the same. These are the people that it's their full-time jobs. They never leave. They're there regardless of which party is in power. They have become essentially the fourth branch of our government, and that branch of our government is completely under the control of these same people that created the Federal Reserve and the income tax and the people that are driving the globalist policies to try and create what we would call a new world order. It spans both parties, and it's done largely through the think tank, the Council on Foreign Relations, that controls our foreign policy and gets us into all these wars.
Well, what seems different now than the way it's been in the past? Now it's almost out in the open. To me, the mainstream media now is just complete, total propaganda. Whereas before, they tried to at least be believable and give a little semblance of truth. But now only the most brainwashed people in the public could even sit down and listen to this stuff. It comes from MSNBC and CNN and that sort of thing. And it's just something I haven't seen before. I'd like for you to comment on that.
No, Mark, I talk about that exact thing with my wife all the time. For my birthday a couple months ago, she gave me, because I talk about this so much, she gave me this big piece of artwork that she made. It's a collage of, I don't know where she got them, a bunch of old U.S. postage stamps that she had enlarged and collaged that talk about freedom of the press. It was all celebrating freedom of the press and integrity and journalism. And I think that things really started falling apart big time when we started moving from just having the nighttime network news to having the 24-hour news cycles with CNN, and then NBC ended up becoming MSNBC, and then we got Fox News eventually. And there's 24 hours a day. They've got to come up with a whole lot more than just news to report on if they're going to be 24 hours. And so that's why everything started running as opinion rather than as news. And everything became monetized. You would go to whichever news station you wanted to based on your own personal prejudices. If you were conservative and you liked the idea of going to war because you like George W. Bush and you favor the Iraq war, then you go to Fox News. and Fox News will never tell you that that there was anything, any holes in the story of the weapons of mass destruction that Saddam supposedly had. They'll just tell you whatever Bush wants you to hear. But then again, if you're opposed to that, you go to, say, MSNBC. If you're gay, you listen to Rachel Maddow or Keith Olbermann. It's just everybody's personal taste. You've got media for it. But none of them are true news media anymore in that they don't report facts. They tell you what they think. And I mentioned David Brock created Media Matters. Mark, sometime you ought to look into this. Media Matters, we talk about how the mainstream media, kind of all of them, put out the same basic message. There's not a whole lot of variation. But
right.
You wonder, well, how do they all end up saying the same things? Where do they get their news from? Well, Media Matters is the greatest single influence over the media in the major media outlets is Media Matters. They actually go to Media Matters to find out what the approved narrative is. Media Matters is essentially controlled by the globalists. It's funded by George Soros and the folks that are basically meeting in the Bilderberg Group meetings. Whatever they come up with that they want the people to believe, they filter it down through Media Matters, and the mainstream media outlets largely get their narratives from Media Matters. Kind of like if you tune into, I always know, any day of the week, you'll always know what Rush Limbaugh or Sean Hannity or any conservative radio show host is going to be talking about for the day. You just go to Drudge Report and look at the headlines. Whatever headlines are on Drudge, that's going to be the show for Rush Limbaugh for the day. But the left side, they do the same thing. They just don't get it from Drudge Report. They get it from Media Matters. So Media Matters has really destroyed freedom of the press. The media outlets, because they are all owned by the six major media giants, they just all collaborate. It's all a collaborative effort. It's government propaganda. It's the Ministry of Truth that George Orwell wrote about in his 1984 book. That's all it is. It's the Ministry of Truth, propaganda, Big Brother.
And people just don't realize how bad things are because, I mean, I have a book. It's called Clinton's War on Women. It's by Roger Stone. And one of the most amazing stories in that book is about when Bill Clinton was the governor of Arkansas, and they were flying a guy named Barry Seals that worked for the CIA was flying in about $100 million a month of cocaine from South America. They would land there in Mean, Arkansas. They would take the cocaine out of this big transport plane, and I guess they would load it onto these Lear jets that were owned by Dan Lassiter, the guy that owned the Ponderosa steakhouses, and
right.
Then they would fly this cocaine all over the country. And the money was laundered through the Rose Law Firm of Hillary Clinton. Bill kind of oversaw it all. And, I mean, it's just a horrifically horrible story because, you know, eventually Barry Seals, the guy that was the pilot that flew that stuff in, he got killed because he was, you know, he said he was going to tell the world about this whole operation. And my understanding was that Bush Sr. was in charge of the whole drug trafficking thing.
Oh, so, yeah. Bush had been the head of the CIA before he ended up in the White House.
I mean, the criminality is just beyond people's wildest imagination.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it is truly our government is run by a mafia. It works
exactly.
The exact same way that the New York mafia works. You've got the mafia bosses. Everything is compartmentalized. Everything is a need-to-know basis, but everyone does their job. We are completely controlled by a globalist mafia. It's a banking cartel, an international banking cartel, and they control us. No question.
And now, I mean, the latest thing that's really getting really no coverage to speak of is is Obama's birth certificate, which I know is kind of old news. But now this sheriff from Maricopa County, I mean, he's done a 5-year investigation just studying this birth certificate, and they've taken and sent it to 2 labs, one in Hawaii and one in Italy, and 2 separate labs have found that it was a clear forgery, to the point where the Photoshop layers are still there. They never flattened the layers. They never, I mean, it's there.
Right.
It
cannot be refuted.
They pulled
it off of other documents. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, the area where people get the they make the mistake about the whole birth certificate thing. It doesn't matter if Barack Obama really was born in Hawaii. That was never the issue. And Donald Trump back years ago in 2011 when he was talking about that, that's beside the point. Maybe he was born in Hawaii. I personally believe that he was. I don't think he was born outside of the United States. That's not the issue. The issue is the Constitution says that to become president, you have to be a natural-born citizen. And that has been defined in the past by the Supreme Court. Natural-born citizen is someone who's born with no loyalties to another country. And so that means that your own parents, both of your parents, have to be U.S. citizens, or you, at the very least, cannot be born with dual citizenship. Because Barack Obama's father did have dual citizenship under the law of the other country, Barack Obama, Barry Satoru, he was born with dual citizenship. And so the reason they won't release the original birth certificate is not because it doesn't exist. It certainly exists. But on the birth certificate, it shows the nationalities of the parents. And when you see the nationality of his father, that can easily prove that Barack Obama was born with a secondary citizenship, that he was a citizen of 2 different countries. That is the big issue. That's why they're trying to hide it.
So that's why there is a fake birth certificate, to hide that.
Right, right. They say this is a certified copy of the original, but it is not. even this is fake.
Oh, my goodness. And you know, I feel sorry for people, because when I bring up information like this, it seems to trigger people, and they'll attack you, and they'll curse at you, and it brings up all this hatred. So, you know, that's the thing. I mean, we're at a point now where it's very dangerous. I almost feel like we could have a civil war.
It's scary. I have got one of my good friends. I'm going out to see Star Wars again with him in a couple nights from now. He is as far left as I am the opposite direction. We never agree on hardly anything. But he and I can get together and just talk. But he's one of the only people left in the world that I can do that with. Because anyone else, if you share an opinion that they don't hold, it's just like you said, they can't handle it emotionally. It's too big of an attack on them.
They flip out.
Yeah.
You know, and I wonder if it's almost, I struggle within myself whether I should just not say anything and then let these people find out this information on their own,
keep talking.
Okay.
Keep talking.
Okay.
Absolutely.
I think
embrace your tinfoil hat. Let people say whatever. That's how I feel. If you think I'm crazy, that's fine, but at least I can back up my theories with facts that support my ideas. You know, I'm not just coming up with stuff out of the blue, but can the other party say the same?
Well, Jake, I really appreciate you coming on the show again. It seemed like such a quick hour. Why don't you tell the listeners about, you know, your websites and what else you got going on?
Best way to find me, to watch any of my video reports, is to go to YouTube. Go to youtube.com/prepare333. So youtube.com/prepare333. And subscribe to my channel. I try and put out reports several days a week.
All right, Jake, it's been a pleasure, man, and keep up the good work.
Great talking with you, Mark. I really enjoyed it.
All righty. Good night. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.